I would like to have you go to Malachi here. That's going to be our text. I'm a little afraid I'm going to lose my voice. You'll hear me struggle a little bit with this. I've been doing this since the last couple of days. So bear with me. If I call on you, Ed, to read, don't be mad at me, all right? I might have to have your help this morning. But if you'll go to Malachi chapter 1, we'll talk there here in a little bit. But imagine, if you will, for a moment, and this is a lesson I that's not my own, actually, but it's a very good lesson, and I hope it helps to prick you in your heart and helps to draw you a little closer to the cross. But imagine, if you will, for a moment, Jimmy Carter, he used to like to go to residents' house. Just, I don't know if you all remember that far back. You just go to people's house, not necessarily uninvited or unawares, they would know, but he would just go visit common folks and have dinner with them. That's one of the things he did as a president. And imagine, if you will, he was coming to your house. And, you know, he's got the presidential limousine, you know, the streets are all lined, everybody's excited, comes up to your front door, knocks on the door and he opens up, and you got a t-shirt on, kind of holy t-shirt. You're like, oh, glad to have you, president, come on in, so glad to be with you, thanks so much for coming over. And you step over the dog or cat, and you said, never mind the mess, the wife didn't have a chance to clean up, she was kind of caught up in her soap opera, so just come on back in the back. We're going to go ahead and set up, and we're going to have something to eat here in a minute. She gets up. She goes to the kitchen and starts warming up some food in the microwave on paper plates. And then they sit down, and they get ready to eat. Now, that's something you know would not happen. You know that would not happen. The president was coming to your house, you'd give him the very best that you have. It may not be much, and you wouldn't have to be rich, but they're going to eat. If you've got Chinese, they're going to eat on China. You definitely going to have a better shirt on than just a holy t-shirt, am I right? You're going to do your level best. Let's look at Malachi for just a minute. It says, I love and hear what the messengers have to say. We're going to talk. This is just an overview of the lesson, by the way. God's messenger on behalf of the Lord of hosts. We're going to talk, and we're, by the way, we're not going to get through all of this. You know, and I don't want to, because if I do, then I won't have anything for tonight. So, God's purpose, we'll talk a little bit about that. God's people and how we dishonor him. Talk a little bit about the honor of God with the best of our lives, how we honor God with the best of our lives. And in conclusion, we'll talk about, is your heart right with God? But today's lesson is going to be about giving your best to the master. Giving your best to the master. Let's look at Malachi really quick. And this, I might actually have you read, Ed, if you don't mind from me. Let's read here from Malachi chapter 1. Read all the way down that, just that whole chapter. Let's get that whole chapter in.
The burden of the word of Jehovah to Israel by Malachi. I have loved thee, saith Jehovah, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith Jehovah? Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated, and made his mountains of desolation, and gave his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And men shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Jehovah hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, Jehovah be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? Then that ye say, the table of Jehovah is contemptible. And we offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil. And when you offer the lame and sick, it is no evil. Present it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, said Jehovah of hosts? And now I pray thee, entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he accept any of your persons, saith Jehovah of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you that would shut the doors, that you may not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, saith Jehovah of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the suns, of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the Gentiles, saith Jehovah of hosts. But ye profane it, and that ye say, the table of Jehovah is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even its food, is contemptible. Ye say also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith Jehovah of hosts, and ye have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith Jehovah? But cursed be the deceiver, who hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a blemished thing. For I am a great king, saith Jehovah of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles.
In that earlier illustration I gave you, thank you so much, Ed, for that. I appreciate that. Talked about the president coming to your house. It's absolutely absurd to think that you would show up at the front door with a holy t-shirt, food unprepared, heated up in a microwave, on paper plates. And yet, as we can read here, Malachi's account, Malachi the Lord confronts the priest for doing just that. Treating God, his blessings, less than the best. And he's not happy. Let's look at verse 14. It says, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name will be feared among the nations. I'd like to go back to these prophets and understand the nature of God so that we can be reminded of who we are serving. We can see here that God says he is a great king and we know he is. He has to remind them of that because of their service or lack thereof. Verse 7. By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. You say, well, what is this lesson for? Why are you giving us this lesson? Sometimes we are giving God what's left over in our lives, not giving him our best. But we come here, we come to church, and we say, well, what's the problem? I came to church today. I'm a good person. They certainly thought they were good, the priest and what they were doing. And yet they were offering polluted food on the altar. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor, and he will accept. Will he accept you or show you favor? They wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't accept it, and he's a man. How are we serving God? How are we giving our best to God? It's not enough for us to be here. We have to give our best to God. And we need to be careful that we don't assume that because we're here, I'm talking here physically, that should be all right. Because we can see in verse 10, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Basically, he's saying, you know what? I'd rather you just shut the church doors than to do what you're doing. You may as well not even be here. Can you imagine that? And that's how God felt about their sacrifice. It's interesting, isn't it? You got man's perspective, and you've got God's perspective. When you look at what you think you're doing, that is the best you can do to God, do for God, give to God, are you truly thinking about what God wants? Are you thinking about your service to Him? Are you thinking about Him as a great King and all that He has provided? Because He had to remind the priest of this. Let's look at verse Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now, we know this. Some of you can probably quote this by memory. And the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In this way we honor God. We fear Him and keep His commandments. So the question is, how has He, in fact, what is His purpose? Why do we have to do these things? Why honor God? We know He's King. Why honor Him? Why pull out the best china? Why put on our Sunday best? And pull up my notes here in a better way so I can... And we don't have to read each one of these, because if we do, we'll definitely not get out of here. Ephesians chapter 1 said, God elects His people before the foundation of the world for His glory. The purpose, God's purpose, is that He is to be glorified. He's God. It's His right. It's our opportunity. Isaiah 43:7, God creates humankind for His glory. Isaiah 49:3, God chooses Israel for His glory. Psalms chapter 106, verse 7 through 8, God delivers them from Egypt for His glory. Isaiah 48:9 through 11, God restores them after exile for His glory. Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, God sends His Son to confirm His trustworthiness, and so the Gentiles will glorify Him for His mercy. Romans chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, God puts His Son to death to display the glory of His vindicated righteousness. And the scriptures go on and on and on. This should ought to be enough. But God has done even more than that. He's done more than just give His Son. He's done all of these things. Now think about, why did He do that? He did that so that He could save me. Me, the sinner. Yes, that's true. But it wasn't just for... I don't know if I want to dumb down the idea of being saved as convenience, but it wasn't just for saving you. Because once that happened, you needed to glorify God in your saving. You need to understand what God's purpose is, who he is, what his nature is, so that you could continue to fear him, keep his commandments, and have the motivation to put him first in all things, giving him the best in your life. And I mention that because sometimes after we are baptized, we realize the saving power of Jesus' blood, we get a little lazy. Because that was a while ago for some of you, right? Remember your zeal you had when you first became a Christian? Do you still have that same zeal? I know you don't. I used to go on door knocking campaigns. I was memorizing scripture. I was running around. I couldn't wait to learn how to lead the Lord's Supper table. I couldn't wait to learn how to sing. There were so many duties that the men could do anyway. I don't know that I was just, what else can I do? What else can I? And I wanted to preach even. Zealous, excited. But now I'm a little longer in the tooth, you know, a little slow. Hip don't work as well as it used to. Get a little tired, lose my voice. And I go to work. I'm grown up now. I got grown up things. Got to pay a mortgage. Got a wife. Got things to do. Get a little tired. And sometimes in that fatigue and going through our navigating ourselves through life space, we just give God what we got left. But we forget he wants the best. He don't want your holy t-shirt. He don't want your microwave food on paper plates. He wants the best. And about the time you get a little too tired to give him the best, you need to get some sleep. Take a vitamin. Get on your knees and pray and ask God to forgive you for that attitude, because he deserves the best. He always will. Look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. Back to our text. Let's consider how we dishonor God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, it says here. Oh, maybe I wrote it down. It's 1:13. Sorry about that. I have to fix that on my notes, so I'll show you that there. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says here, but you say, what a weariness is this? And you snort at it, and says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand? Says the Lord. It's interesting how the relationship is between God and man. That's what I love about this Old Testament books. You get to see that interaction. You don't have to wonder how God feels about you. Just go back and read how God feels about you. This is mankind interacting with God. And verse 13 says, but you say, what a weariness is this? How many times have you said to yourself, oh, we got to go to church again? Oh, I get so tired of listening to them. What is Jeff going to say that's different? What a weariness is this? Oh, that song? Are we really going to sing that song? Oh. If Gary sings that song one more time, that must be his favorite song. I just cannot. I've actually had it told to me. There's some song, there's at least one I know I won't sing. It's like, even my wife would pull me off. So, you gonna sing that song? Now I pull her on the side. You need Jesus. That's what you need Jesus for that. You still do. But that's what happens. It's as natural now as it was then that man should say, oh, what a weariness is this. You think about it. They were making sacrifices, animal sacrifices. The priest had to get these animal sacrifices. They had to do this in a particular way. Burn. I mean, think about the work of it. Now, if you just think about the work of it and you just put God over here for a minute and think about the work. You gotta get the first, if it's the best, right, it's gonna be the first. The first lamb, the first, the best. You gotta nurture it through the years till you get ready to do this sacrifice. And then the priest have got to sacrifice it, which is a burnt offering. And I don't imagine it's just a little like, you know, just take a little bunny rabbit, throw it on the fire. No, this is some work. You got to work this. You got to work the situation. So I guess physically speaking, it could be very weary. We don't have anything like that today. But you do have to come to church. Sometimes when it's cold outside. Sometimes when there's snow outside. Sometimes to get here, you got to shovel the snow, right? And by the time you get that second bit of snow off the ground, you be, oh, what a weariness is this. This could have been a snow day. How come they didn't call today in? I mean, you know, if you're thinking like that, can be some work. There's some work. And it ought to be some work. Because if you think about what God has done for us, that was some work. He's done much work for us. And he's asking us to come to church. Now, this isn't a lesson about assembling. I'm just giving you an example. I want to relate to you this morning. Or when you're at home and you're getting ready to eat dinner, you got time for no prayer? I'm hungry. Oh, the weariness of this. You got you. Somebody's praying. Oh, will they hurry up? Food's up in your nose. Oh, what a weariness. We got to sit up here and pray. I want to eat. I'm hungry. Really? It's mankind. See it right there in verse 13. Happened then, happens now. Isaiah chapter 43. Let's look at that really quick. Verse 22, it reads, yet ye did not call upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings, or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet. That was verse 23. Okay. Verse 24 as well. You have not brought me sweet cane with sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I like this little note that I have here. I've got the ESV in my reading. I don't know. And it's a study Bible. It says, while the Babylonians in exile, the Jewish people were unable to continue the Mosaic sacrifice system. So God did not demand it of them. Impossible observances. But the way they rewarded him for his compassion was an apathy toward obedience. God has made life so much easier for us. We can go to him in prayer. We don't have to go through a priest. Save Jesus Christ. We have the convenience of his word. It's written here for us to read. Look, chapter and verse. His son has died and given his blood that we might have a chance to life, both here on earth and hereafter. We are restored to him. We are able to go to him in prayer. And it's too much work to get on our knees to do it. That's not giving God the best. It's too much work to listen to that same old song. That's not giving God the best. It's too much work to hear another sermon. Can't be saying nothing I haven't heard already. That's not giving God the best. Look at Malachi chapter 3, our text again. I think it's interesting, these scriptures, because it really takes the... It makes it not personal, so to speak. Because I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you've given God less than your best and dishonored him by doing it. But it's important to know that this is not new. Man can get this way. If this is happening in your heart, you need to know God's not pleased with this. He wasn't pleased with it then. He won't be pleased with it now. We have to give him our best. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Your words you have heard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? And that's very natural, isn't it? What if God said that? Words you've spoken against. How did I do that, God? I'm in church. I'm praying. I'm thanking you for everything. I'm praying on my knees. I'm thanking you for everything. And that'll be what we'll proclaim. Because in our mind, we're doing all right by God. But God has requirements. And your mind's eye needs to go through what God requires to know if you're pleasing him, not whether or not you think you've done enough. Am I right? Because they're saying, your words you've heard against me, have been heard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? Verse 14, you have said, it is vain to serve God. What does it profit of our keeping his charge, or of waking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. You ever say to yourself, you know, why I got to go to church? I don't see so-and-so here. I don't see so-and-so here. They're getting away with it. How come I can't stay home? Now I got to look over my glass. This way I can't see you really. And keep you all honest. Now that's usually the mindset of the ones who are always here. They always here. Cross their mind sometimes. Why I got to be here? Ain't nobody in there. Y'all just going to say something to this brother or this sister that I haven't seen in about a month? Work out your own soul salvation. Even if it were so, you can't get that brother or sister to heaven or hell. It's not your job. We're doing our best when we serve God. Put him first. You got to remember that. Who we're serving. If another person on the pew next to you was your motivation for being here, then you just may as well not come. You're serving the wrong God. Come, sometimes this can be a skeleton crew. We can count two families over here, three over there. What if those two or three families say, you know what, where's everybody? I'm tapping out. I'm not doing this. You don't know what another person's going through. You don't know what their life is happening. They might be traveling, they might be sick. You don't know. But you're here. And your attitude ought to be, how can I put God first? How can I please God? But that's what these people are looking at. They said, evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Everybody out there is not in church. And look, they got nice houses. They eating on china. I got paper plates. They're looking at the world. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8. When you offer blind animals in sacrifices, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? When you give God what you got left over, is that not evil? But I'm tired. I worked all day. For who? I just don't want to. Why not? Well, we don't have much money, so just, I don't know. We'll just give a couple of bucks. I'm going to do that again. Because you know you got more than a couple of bucks, but you're going to give him what you got left over. Malachi 1:8, give the Lord of hosts what is best and not what is left over. Sometimes you have to plan for what is best, don't you? Sometimes you got to get your sleep Saturday night, right? So you're not sleeping on Sunday morning. Sometimes you got to write that check when you pay those bills. Maybe just before you pay those bills, you write that check, right? I'm going to give God first. I'm going to write that check right now. I know God's coming first. Instead of last minute, you got to scrounge up. If the church had a cushion, you'd pull up underneath that trying to find a penny somebody dropped. They didn't quite give it in the offering. I got something to give. For who? Attitude. It's got to be about putting God first. Malachi chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. Have to read that. Let's jump around a little bit. Running out of time. And I wrote the wrongs. I had Malachi. I meant Micah. There we go. I was like, God, there's no Malachi chapter 6. I'm looking for it. It wasn't there. Micah chapter 6. Sorry about that. Verses 4 through 5. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent you, sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the saving acts of the Lord in our lives, how much he has brought you out of the slavery of sin. When we think about, I'm not going to just give God what I got left, I'm going to give him my best. He saved me from this so that I can become this. I'm giving him my best. He gave his son that I might have a chance to life here on earth, and with him He gave me his best. I'm going to give him my best. What happens is we get kind of caught up in ourselves. Oh, the Lord, he accepted me just as I am, without one plea. Now, how are you then? You should be getting better every day so that you can give your best to the Master. You should be better than the day he saved you, so you can give your best to the Master. That's why he saved you, so you can be the best. We need to sometimes remember the saving acts of the Lord, so we do not get tired in well-doing, so we don't get tired in putting him first, so we don't get tired of discovering and rediscovering what our best is. Because that's something that kind of that can be a little bit of a journey to get to your best. That's one of the reasons why we come here. You read a scripture, you've been reading all your whole life, and then all of a sudden, I did not know that. I need to get on my knees and pray. I did not know that. I'm doing something wrong. That was not all. Oh, Jesus, Lord, bless me. Keep me near the cross. And you find out. But you've been coming to church the whole time. But the Bible shows you something else that can help you become even better than you were when you walked through that door today. And that's why you do it. God is not done with you yet. You think you're done? You think you're the best you can be? As long as you're serving God, he's going to perfect you, sharpen you. And as long as you're on this side of earth, you should be striving for it. Otherwise, just be mediocre. Just do whatever. And that should be okay, right? And some of you just, oh, why are you thinking about it so much? Why just do this? Well, that's okay. Don't do that with God. Don't tell God, why it don't really matter. Just come to church. God don't need your worship. He needs your obedience. He don't need your worship. He done already told you, look, if you're going to give me just whatever you can, and just not, you know, whatever's left over, you may as well shut the doors of the church. Don't want you here. That's how God feels about it. So don't give him just whatever. Give him your best. And strive to find out what that is in you, so that you can continue and be motivated to do your best. So when you come through these doors, it's just not the same old song you're singing. It's not the same old prayer you're praying. It's not the same old sermon you're hearing. You're thinking as you're singing that song, you're saying that prayer, and you're reading that scripture, what can I do to be better than I was when I walked through this door today? In my service to God. What can I do? How can I give God my best? And I guarantee you, you have that attitude, then church won't become so rote, some of the things we do. Yes, we know what we're going to do. We're going to sing, Lord's Supper, pray. I'm out the door. Dinner time. Huh? It could be that simple. If you change your mind, change your heart and your attitude, you could give God your best. I'm going to probably have to stop right here because this will be too long otherwise. The next time I want to talk about some ways that we can give God our best. Break it down a little bit more. We know how important it is to give him our best. But I want to identify a couple of ways that we can do it. Hopefully, it'll also be some ways to help restore your spirit for striving to be the best Christian you can be the best mother, be the best father, best son, brother, sister. And I hope it will encourage you. But until such a time, we have a song. We'll be singing here shortly. Certainly was a blessing to see Chris come for us and give his life to Christ. The invitation is still open. Still available for anybody who needs to put their best foot forward, come before God, and let him know that all the sacrifices, all that he's done for us, is not in vain. That you will serve him, that you will put him first. And you know in your heart that from there on, you'll be discovering what the best is for the rest of your life. Because as long as you're reading right here and you're seeking what is true, you know how many people have no idea how to become the best they can be? They're just spinning their wheels, just getting through life. You've met them. They're just getting through life. Some of them doing it in jail because they didn't make it. They didn't figure out what the best, how can I be the best? You don't strive to be the best and end up in jail. You know what I mean? No. Don't strive to be the best and hurt other people. That's not being the best. You don't strive to be the best and insult other people. And there's some people, they live their whole life for that. How can I bring you down today? How can I hurt your feelings so that minds can feel better? I can step on you so I can step up. There's people doing that all day long, and they don't think anything about it. They don't know what looking for the best is. They don't know what striving for the best is, but you are different. You're cut from a different cloth. God expects you to be the best. Give him your best and strive for the better in you every single day. And I hope this lesson, what part of it that we've shared with you this morning, helps to encourage you not to get tired of trying to do your best each time. Not faint not in well-doing, right? Because it can get a little tired, that sacrifice, right? It can hurt your back a little bit. That living sacrifice. Always being on, right? Having your light shine as a Christian, you know? In a world full of people that could care less. That can make you weary. Now, let's be honest. It can make you weary. But don't let it influence you that whatever's left of that, you can give to God. No, God says, he's here to restore your spirit and make you better than you are. Better than you were when you walked through here today. He wants that. That's the part he wants. Okay? And he's here to help you do it. He's here to help you all day long. That's what the scriptures are for. That's what the brothers and sisters in the community of the church is for. To restore your spirit. Because you get tired. I get that. I've been tired. But let the word of God, let the work of God, let the construct of his church help to restore your spirit so you can get back up there and give God your best. If that's anything that we can do to help you, then please come while together we stand and sing the song.